You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have so many of your calls and your texts. Always great to have superstars like Chris Ansley on the program to talk all things basketball. He's, heading to Auckland to have another in-depth little chat with the locals, with Dirk Nowitzki. So I've been lucky enough to grab him for a couple of minutes before he boards. Welcome to you, Chris. Great to have you back on.
Thanks, Dwayne. Yep, jumping on a plane and Dirk's across in Auckland, so we'll do one more little event with him and he'll take off. But it's been great to have him. But I suppose more importantly, great that the NBL season's coming to a head. It's been fantastic and really exciting time in basketball in Australia right now.
Yeah, perfect finish too, with so many teams available in this last round to make it, so many different connotations. Kings are obviously the favourites in most people's eyes. Who's the biggest threat to them, do you think?
You know, we chatted a few weeks ago, and I still think the South East Melbourne Phoenix are, if Ryan Brokoff's back. The Cairns Taipans fans that have been loud in, you know, their support of their team to beat Sydney without Keanu Pinder, who's out for the year with a broken orbital bone. I don't see them being able to get it done. I don't see New Zealand, when it really matters, being consistent enough. Look, for me, the South East Melbourne Phoenix look like getting in and probably finishing fifth. So they've got their work ahead of them and they still need to get in. But, you know, their size, their athleticism, their ability to match up with Sydney's probably, for me, the biggest danger to the Kings. But you're right, the Kings deserve to be short price favourite and someone's going to have to play really, really well to knock them off.
Yeah, you're right about New Zealand. We saw the worst of them and the best of them against one of the worst teams in the comp last night, Illawarra, but they did get the job done. So I suppose the win is the win. What about the Wildcats? They seem to be able to score 100, but other teams seem to be able to score more than 100 against them.
And it's a really different identity to what they've been traditionally. They've been renowned for that hard-nosed defensive toughness, and that was led by Damian Martin, and he's not there anymore. But I think there has to be credit go to John, really, where any good coach will put in a game plan for a team dependent on the personnel they've got. And I think he's put in place the right strategy for the current team. So they're fun to watch. And history tells us last year they lost their last game against the South East Melbourne Phoenix to miss the playoffs for the first time in over 30 years. And they get two swings at it this year. They've got two home games against the top two teams, and they need to win one to get in. So if they lose both and Melbourne can beat Adelaide, that's the only way United get in outside of a 40-point win. But, look, I just think Perth will find a way to, as I said, Keanu Pinder's out and Perth match up really well against them. If they don't get that done, I can't see Sydney going across to Perth, having locked up top spot and playing all of their starters minutes. I just think they'll get through their rotations a bit more, you know, in a bit more relaxed manner, and, you know, Perth may be playing for their play-in and then playoff life. So, look, I can't see Perth dropping both games. I think they'll find their way into the playoffs, which, unfortunately for Melbourne United fans, probably means that they'll miss out after a really tough season, with a lot of injuries.
So, are you okay if they use injury as an excuse? They lost Matthew Dellavedova, Jack White's importance. We're now, you don't know what you've got till it's gone sometimes. You could say that about Joe Lualatul, and you could probably say it about Jock Landale, who they lost a season and a half ago. So, are you allowing injury to be their excuse, or do they need to look deeper?
No, look, you've mentioned three. They've lost a lot of talent, but the other one that I think was ready to step up and have a great year was Ariel Hutcourty, who would have been their starting four or five, and he's missed the entire season. Shea Illy, who I think's, you know, the heartbeat of that team and, you know, the guy that makes their team tick on both ends, offensively and defensively. He's only played 14 of the 28 games, and has been, you know, our thoughts go to him and hope that that concussion and his head's okay. But yeah, it is. Like, I absolutely, and they'll never call it an excuse. I'd like to think of it more as a reason. And even as is, they'll only miss by percentage, I believe. But look, the different rumours around United, they're fine. Dean Dickerman's a great coach. The coaching staff do it the right way. The club does it the right way. Yeah, I think there's certainly a reason. And on top of that, testament to the depth of talent within the NBL. But we always said there's going to be some really good teams miss out on the playoffs, and it looks like United might be one of them this season.
A young guy you've had an influence on and continues to start, Josh Giddey, as we talk some NBA. I think he had 28-8 yesterday, so threatened another triple-double. His team's not winning as much as he'd like it to, but you know, even against guys like Steph Curry, he's really performing well.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had an influence on him. I coached a state team he was on for about a week. He's incredible. And look, he's one of the most exciting. He's a part of one of the most exciting backcourts in the NBA with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and really exciting ideas floating around about who may join them to probably fast-track their quest to be a playoff and then a championship contender. I think they're probably a couple of years ahead of where they thought they might be. It wouldn't surprise me to see them make a move before the trade deadline and bring in, you know, a foreman like John Collins and really bolster that front court that they have and look to bring in a wing and, you know, a 3-and-D type wing to help those two guards out. If they don't do it before the trade deadline, you know, they're not going to threaten for a championship this year. They'll certainly do it in the off-season. But just so much fun to watch an NBA club build around one of our Australians. We've only ever seen that. Well, we've seen it with Andrew Bogut. We've seen it with Ben Simmons. And to see it around Josh Giddey now, he's one of the best in the league and will be one of the best in the league in time.
So how are we looking for Paris next year, Chris? Because we do have the core there. I'm not sure how Ben Simmons is going to go in the lead up, and how he's going at the moment is probably another talking point. But are we looking okay?
We're looking great. You know, to what we had last year, we had Josh, we had Dyson Daniels, you know, in the backcourt, and whoever of that backcourt doesn't quite get there, whether through age or injury or just being outplayed by these two guys, which is, you know, nothing to be ashamed of. It look, the backcourt will probably be even more improved than what it was in our bronze medal winning game. But, you know, the front court, we hope that Aaron Baines can get back to the sort of level of basketball that we know he can play and be involved in some sort of role. Jock Landale's improved a lot. You know, we're probably, Xavier Cooks, I think, is someone else who's going to make a real strong case to play for the Boomers. So, you know, you mentioned Ben Simmons. I don't think that we need to take both Ben Simmons and Xavier Cooks. You know, they do in some ways play very similarly now. And, you know what, Ben Simmons has been one of the best players in the NBA. But I'll tell you what, it'd be a tough decision if I was a coach, because I know what the safer bet is. And, you know, I know the guy that's going to turn up every day and not have an excuse. And if it was me, I'd be taking Xavier Cooks in that spot, because I don't think you can have both of them in that team.
Which is a big statement, but Ben had this spike in form, what, a month or so ago, and I don't know, have you read into it? Have you spoken to Dirk? What's happened since?
No, look, it's Luke Longley, I think, said it best, is that Ben's just got to find his love of basketball and have had the right people around him, and we all thought that might have been the Boomers leading into Tokyo, but unfortunately it wasn't. We may end up finding that it still becomes the Boomers at some stage down the track, but it's high risk. Having said that, high risk, probably high reward at that level as well. But look, for me, Xavier Cooks has consistently done enough to prove that he's one of the best four men in the NBL. He hasn't really had his shot internationally yet, so I suppose that's the only unknown within this. But look, I'd love to see him pull on a Boomers uniform. And you know, at some level, you need someone who's going to turn up and compete. You know exactly what you're going to get every single practice, every single game. And for me, that's Xavier Cooks at the moment.
Through the NBA, do you think he's going to be there next season?
I don't think so. I just unfortunately don't think he shoots the ball well enough yet. And there have been different players over the years that's been the one part that yeah, they probably haven't. It's probably held them from being an NBA athlete, and, even as far back as Sam McKinnon. But, you know, Xavier Cooks is an incredible athlete. He's high IQ. He matches up really well in this league. And, you know, once you get to the NBA, you know, everyone's that athletic. Everyone's that bouncy, and you know, a lot of high IQ over there. And to be on a good team over there, you just need to be able to consistently shoot the perimeter jump shot out to the three-point line in the NBA. But you know, if he can demonstrate that he's able to do that consistently, and I'm sure he's going to put in a lot of work every offseason, if he can do that, then he becomes an NBA athlete. But until then, I know that that's the big question mark that the teams have over him.
Hey, before I let you go, quick one. The All-Australian for the AFL is still a panel that decides it. In the NBA, the MVP is essentially a media vote. Members of a large panel of sports writers and broadcasters vote. Do you like the system? Is it a good system?
In the NBA, look, I think everybody needs to say I like the mix. But yeah, coaches and players, an independent panel that sees every single game. What I do think is that it's surprising that they've announced the finalists for an MVP award and all of the different awards with three rounds to go. And so after the awards were announced, Xavier Cooks had a triple-double. After the awards were announced, Mitch Creek had 25. So I'd like to see every single game taken into consideration before we even announce the nominees. I just think that's the fairest way. With regard to some of the others, I think there has to be a minimum criteria. I love Shea Ilian. We've mentioned how important he is to United, but he's missed half the season. Probably, and he may or may not agree, but probably shouldn't have made the list of nominees for the Defensive Player of the Year, having missed half the year. I think Justin Simon at the Sydney Kings would consider himself very unlucky not to have made that last three, given he's on the best team in the league and they were not represented in that award. So look, there's still a few wrinkles to iron out. The NBL has done a lot right. They'll probably tinker with it next year, I'm sure, but I think at the very least they need to wait until the regular season's done before they announce the individual award nominees.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you on that 100%. Hey, what about the NBA, though? The fans have 10% of the vote for the All-Star game and the MVP for the NBA is voted on by media. How are you seeing that as a system as well? Do you like it? Do you not like it? They seem to come up with a pretty good NBA MVP winner every year.
Yeah, I think they've got the MVP right. And I think there's, you know, there are literally millions of dollars that go into that. So that needs to be independent. With regard to the All-Star game, yeah, I do like that the fans get a vote. But you see some players who have had horrendous years or, in fact, not even played a game, just picked because people are used to voting for them as their favourite player. So, look, I don't mind the fans getting a vote for the All-Star game because at the end of the day, the game means nothing. It's a game for the fans. But, you know, the days where you have triple votes and the clubs getting VPNs and putting in hundreds of thousands of votes, I just don't think it's accurate. If they're going to do that, just make it accurate so that the right players play in the right game.
I'll let you get on the plane, Chris. Great to have a chat to you. Always great to be able to pick your brain. So thanks for joining me.
Cheers, Dino.
Chris Ansley joining us, two-time NBL MVP, NBA star, Gaze Medal winner. I can rattle off the teams that he's been a star at, and it's great to have him as a star in the media these days. Chris Anstey joining us. A few of your calls straight after this little break. 1-300-736-736. If you've got a thought on any of that, back to your calls next on Dwayne's World.